CJLO 1690 AM. We heard there before those commercials was part one of an interview that my good pal and your good pal Satan did with Stonecutters down at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And you know what? Let's just go into part two of it. Let's just do that right now. So here's part two of that interview. Keep it locked. This is Great Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM.
Speaking of the web, let's talk about my favorite invention, the internet.
Yeah. Were you behind that like crash thing that happened yesterday?
I'm here in Austin, so okay. I've left a bunch of other people.
I'm sure if there was a suicide involved, he would take credit.
I think it was a precursor to him launching his own social media outlet, Pinstagram.
Pinstagram. Yes.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Lay that on the table right there.
He just laid it on the pentagram table.
I've not thought of that, but I like the idea that you're putting forth.
You disrupt what everybody's tethered to. The whole world went to shish yesterday.
Oh, well.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I've got my servers up.
Did we even play a show? I mean, if it wasn't on the internet.
One will never know. That's the thing.
No. Black metal people like doing that, though.
But let's talk about the kind of switch from things that are physical over to the internet.
Yeah.
Because I've personally loved what humans have done switching over all digital things.
It's crazy.
It's great for me.
Yeah. But makes your job easier.
It definitely does. Yeah. But are you still stalwarts in trying to keep things more physical, or have you gone over to what I've tried to influence for just internet-only type of things?
Well, you know, we do everything, because if you see our name in press, or if you see it on the internet, we're stoked about it. We've reached out to a lot of people, through the internet. We book tours through the internet, you know, and like... And then we book bands from here in Austin, shows in Louisville. So it just makes it that much of a stronger connection, because it's like this thing where it's like, hey man, I hooked you up, you got paid, I saw you play, you slept over at my place, hook me up with a show in your hometown. And that was through the internet. We didn't write letters or anything like that.
Snail mail.
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore.
It took forever to set up shows that way.
I only use snail mail for like mailing naked photos to people and like the voices in my head that tell me to.
Huh? Facebook Messenger for that?
No, I like vintage porn.
Okay, Polaroid.
It's easy to mail.
I think it's one of those things that's got to be a full frontal assault, just firing on all pistons, whatever you can do, because like, there's a lot of people that are going to be just complete adamant about, you know, sticking to like... just flying around town and not having any digital presence.
That only gets you so far.
I mean, that's just going against the tide. And if you don't adapt and like conform to it to some degree,
you're empty.
You know, it's like they're only into vinyl or they're only into digital.
Yeah,
it's like so kind of a niche thing.
Why not do both?
Yeah, so
kind of just do the whole spectrum.
Yeah, I would have bought something, but I only buy cassette tapes, which we have for sale right now.
I was going to ask about cassette tapes, because I've really done a good push in getting cassette tapes out there, because like, you know, I love to watch people swear as a cassette tape is eaten by their player. That's my favorite.
Oh yeah, that one's always really funny. And then they use the pencil to like get it back in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like it takes forever for them to do it. Yeah. Like, you know, I love that.
Yeah, you like to see people frustrated. Yeah. I do too. So thanks for like teaching me that, Satan. I appreciate it.
Is that something that you guys? I always like to ask bands when they're putting out cassettes. And this kind of seems like a backhanded thing, but just bear with me. Is that something that you guys are putting out because you think that people are going to be listening to that? Or is that something that you're putting out because you want people to have a memory of your show?
Huh.
So you put it out as something like as a unique merch kind of to put
The novelty item.
I hope they listen to it.
Yeah,
it's kind of the goal.
But some people just happen to be cool, you know.
Yeah, and then there's definitely like audio files that are like just collectors. Like if I can get this on CD and I can get it on vinyl and I can get it on cassette and I can get it on Betamax and I can get it on 8-track, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, speaking on unique merch,
see if you get the 8-track work back in. Yeah, I like that.
I'm trying. I tried to get in with the
flip it or nothing, man.
Yeah.
I tried to get in with the fucked up because they put out
cool fade outs back in each track.
So sick.
Put out an 8-track for every single one of their records they put out, but like it's only like two or three.
Sure.
So I've been really trying to push, but you know, I can only get so far.
Yeah.
I only have so much info.
It's definitely a one-off creative endeavor when you're talking about like doing 8-tracks. cassette tapes, I've seen a lot of metal bands do, and I always wanted to be a part of that. We have friends that do it, and we took a lot of time with the packaging. It's a cool transparent blue tape to match the cover of the album.
Ooh,
yeah,
fancy.
Yeah.
It actually sounds killer on
it. Yeah, it actually sounds really good.
So, yeah, it's not just like just a trinket to have and buy. Like, you know, the quality is still, you know, superb. So
Yeah.
Harkening back to the unique merch, another little shameless plug here.
Let's keep going.
Me and my girlfriend actually started a little CNC carving and engraving business called Carving Craft. And
all right.
One of the first things that I did once we actually got our dish together and launched in February is made some merch up for Stonecutter. So basically it's just a CNC laser cutter, and we're working with wood right now to make like pins, magnets, keychains, carabiners, a lot of different things. So what I've done is, previous to this tour, is ended up downloading every band's logo that I could, and then vectorizing that, putting it into my machine, and doing a couple free samples for a couple of the bands that are sticking out that are either buddies of ours or the logo was cool as ish. So that's something that's been flying off of our merch table, and so something stands out a little bit more than, like, you know, your typical shirt, sticker, button. So,
well, let me ask you, I'm interested in this. Is, I know that a lot of kind of the move in music is less of making money from actual records, which, I mean, the 80s were great to try and but like since then it's gone pretty differently. Is the best way for a band to make money now just from thinking of like unique merch and trying to make something that people can buy?
Yeah, and touring your ass off. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, we had some stellar nights doing a little run with Guar at the end of last year. I mean, it was absurd. But none of that would have happened if we didn't have a strong merch game.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was...
Yeah, we've been told by the guys that's been doing it for years that we've got a stronger merch game than most signed bands do.
So, yeah, get some shirts together, get some designs together, and if you need help with those designs, hit me up.
Hey!
Is what I'm saying.
There you go, everyone. I like to help out as many dark causes as I can.
Thank you.
Interviewing you guys.
Well, so, yeah, it's
hell
dark
yeah.
Cause.
Thank you, hell Satan. Yeah. Thank you, Satan. Hell yeah.
Let me ask you, we've gotten kind of deep here. Let's get a more fun question.
Yeah.
As we go. What's the worst musical instrument?
Ukulele.
Very quick.
Yeah,
that's
actually
the second time I've heard that.
It
and
sucks.
I've interviewed like a couple bands now.
If I could invent a time machine, the only thing I would do is go back in time and murder the like Hawaiian person that made it.
But you teach ukulele.
I teach ukulele, and that's why I hate it so much. And it's like, who just gets on YouTube and it's like, I want to watch 13-year-old girls play ukulele and like cover rap songs. That's like the dumbest thing ever. It's so stupid. I hate ukulele. There you go.
Strong opinions.
Yeah, no,
I like strong opinions.
I hate
on this.
Ukulele. It's like the recorder. You know, the I'm making this gesture where it looks like I'm putting something long and slender in my mouth.
Right.
And I feel like the ukulele is like the recorder of like this time. So it's just like that useless, stupid thing that people make kids play in class. It's like, why don't you make them do something like learn how to be a leader and not just sit there and play stupid ukulele songs?
Or maybe it's reverse psychology. It's like, I was forced onto this instrument. Off this, mom and dad, I'm picking up drums or guitar.
It never happens.
I don't know. I played trumpet for 6 years, and now, look at me now.
Christopher.
I ain't in a ska band.
Hey, thank God. Yeah, ska sucks, too, by the way.
This ain't ska cutters.
Hey, ska cutters!
That's right. That's on Halloween when you guys do a special dress-up to cover band.
Yeah, ska covers.
Ska cutters.
Yeah.
I like that.
Full disclosure, though, I'm totally behind like metal bands doing like sax and brass instruments and all that on records.
Yeah, that's cool.
That doesn't bother me, except for Scott.
Alright, so Brian, what's the musical instrument you don't like? Say it. I know what you're thinking.
Flute?
Flute?
Maybe if I
right.
had to choose.
You're not Jethro Tull?
Jethro Tull? Actually, I like a little ukulele at the end of Maggie May.
No.
Maybe.
At least how the band broke up. This was the seeds of them breaking up right
Thanks,
here.
What was that song on 51st Dates?
Oh,
like that, don't you?
Oh, that one's terrible. It's like, let's write a movie based around ukulele music. That's a great idea. That's like a great way for like assisted suicide to
More
just
like
come back.
Pukulele.
Yeah, pukulele. Hell yeah.
A wordplay. You're my favorite.
What's your instrument you don't like?
I'd say you put it on the mar right there in the corner. Recorder, you know.
Recorder, that, the recorder yeah. sucks.
Very popular when I ask this question.
Recorder. Well, the only thing it's worth is a brown note.
Hey! All right, well, what about you, Chris? What's the instrument you don't like?
I'm going to have to go and, like,
speaking of which,
I have a little bit of self-hatred here, cowbell. I think the whole thing around that's just, you know, worn out as welcome.
Need more cowbell.
I got a fever. Actually, I got a real fever right now, and cowbell ain't going to do it for me.
Yeah. Cowbell sucks.
So, you know, it's kind of like...
some Tommy Lee.
Have you ever seen anybody, like, frown and play cowbell and, like, look really serious?
I don't know. I don't think that the instrument calls for that.
I mean, but we're a serious band.
Very serious. I can tell from this interview.
Yeah, of course. Serious. We're professionals.
Yeah.
But so we got ukulele, recorder, flutes, and cowbell. So those are the instruments we hate.
So the next record is going to be all flute, recorder, cowbell, ukulele, right?
Ska covers.
All ska covers with
those instruments. So we're going to intensify the pain of this record. It's going to be so sick.
The masochist album.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, after you guys are playing here,
yeah.
What kind of is the rest of your 2019 look like? Do you have plans for like a spring summer tour?
Yeah.
Do you have something going on with new record? Like what is kind of the rest of the year look like for you guys?
Well, we're going to be on tour again in April and again in May. And then we do a couple runs in July. And then we go up to Montreal in August.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
So... there you go.
That is going to be something that I'm very excited about.
We are excited about it. It just got confirmed. So we book tours while we're in the van with the internet, and we're happy about it. Happy as fudge, and it's going to be awesome, man. I think we have like on the books maybe like I know it's at least 50 plus shows this year. So
actually, at the end of this run, we're playing with Goat Horde Direct Support a couple shows.
Oh yeah.
At the end of March.
And we're going to Wisconsin and
July,
some other places. Yeah, just random stuff going on.
All right, I like the sound of. I'm gonna let Andrew know that you're coming up to Montreal.
Please let him know.
We can set up something where you guys come into the station if you have time, of course, and do a session there.
Yeah, that'd be super fun. I'd love to do that.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you guys for sitting down and chatting with me.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.